plate a potential nugget.
Just moving on to a different theme, Anoop, this notion of just navigating one's career, and sort of back to your point about the bespokeness of our respective journeys. So talk to us a little bit about how you've thought about that. And again, if I were to sort of maybe link it to a strategy question that businesses often ask, where to play, how to win. I guess leaders often ask where to go and how to grow. And I see a lot of commentary around how to grow, but I find not as much conversation around where to go. So talk to us a little bit about how you've thought about the where to go question in the context of what you were solving for at different points in time. And I specifically ask that because you have the unique distinction of having made partner in the traditional track, then you made a bunch of choices, and now you got re-elected in the MGI track. So talk to us about just this whole piece of navigation over the last few years.
Yeah, I think the navigation is important it was certainly important for me as I sought, that the holy grail of work-life balance. But I think this navigation and the choices we make are actually relevant for everybody, regardless of your so-called personal or life circumstances. And this is because I feel that there is a sense of renewal and a sense of just tapping into your own energy that keeps you going, that every professional actually needs to be aware of and has to take stock of every few years to say, is my sense of energy high, right, about what I'm doing. Now, for me, that sense of energy came, I think, a lot from being intellectually excited about the problems that I was looking at. So at every major transition that I made, the move from, the trading desk to credit and equity research was prompted by wanting to kind of challenge my mind in a different way. The curiosity that made me get into consulting. And then finally, I found that as a consultant, I'd spent many years looking at the financial services sector. And because I was not very mobile, I had a family, etc., I ended up looking at this in the context of, a certain, I looked at India, I looked at other emerging markets. But over a period of time, I found that that wasn't, exciting me enough. Mm-hmm. And there could have been other options for intellectual growth and renewal, but the McKinsey Global Institute option came my way, which was fascinating because it was completely different. And as I said earlier, it afforded me the opportunity of looking at huge problems that you don't normally think about, right? In a very fundamental way. So I think making a transition necessitates you just self-reflecting a little bit to say, what is it that I really am looking for that will make me tick, and give me the energy I need, right, to make kind of the next phase of growth happen for me. For me, it was all about making, finding the right source of intellectual challenge and doing so by making these different transitions.
And if I may double-click on that to persist with the theme, and the reason I do it is, I think even when I go back to days at IMA and some of the other education I've been through, I think a lot of the education is focused around making sense of the outer world. But solving the inner world is often left to chance. So just to make it tactical, if you had to sort of decode the how of how you figured out what makes you tick, are there any thoughts on, how people could make sense of the inner world to get to the bottom of what makes them tick?
That's a really difficult question.
Not that there's a silver bullet, but I'm just curious about, if somebody came and asked you the question, I'm not sure what makes me tick. What's the sort of the one or two, lines of inquiry you would suggest they undertake to get to the bottom of that?
So my advice would be to talk to a few people, and I go back actually to a moment of epiphany that I had in a very unexpected place, which was when I was being interviewed by one of the most senior partners in McKinsey 15 years ago or more, when I was applying to join the firm. And I had had a series of interviews which went fine, and then this very, very senior partner was sitting there, and he said, asked me a little bit about about my career goals or something like that. And I started telling him about how I enjoyed every aspect of my professional journey so far, except this one particular phase. And he stopped me dead in my tracks. And he just, in a very penetrating way, he said, "Why did you not enjoy that phase?"
Mm.
And sitting in that interview, actually, I went through a moment of complete self-awareness. I was not aware of this, but because he asked me that pointed question, I took a couple of minutes to think about it, and then I came back and I said, as I think about everything, I discovered in that phase that I'm not fundamentally a very competitive person.
Mm.
I'm much more a collaborative person.
Mm.
And that situation demanded a level of competitive behavior that I was not very comfortable with,
mm.
which I was not aware of earlier. So I think having that conversation with someone who provoked me to think
mm.
was actually very helpful. Mm. Not everyone provokes you to think, but you know, seek that out in your mentors or seek that out in, you know, your couple of close relationships. That's all I
right.
would say. You know,
right.
get to that level of conversation
right.
because that's what actually provokes you to reflect.
Very interesting. Very interesting. In our professional lives, I realize that people often receive feedback on what they're good at and what they're not. Very seldom do people tell you what energizes you and what really makes you tick. When I work with leaders in transition, I talk to some of the people that know them well on the personal and professional front. In those conversations, I find mining for insights around sources of energy and frustration a lot more valuable than mining for strengths and weaknesses. And insights around what energizes and frustrates people often provides clarity in terms of navigating the future. Leaders in transition often jump into problem solving the what next without adequate emphasis on seeking feedback from the world around them that can provide valuable cues that can give them direction. You might just want to ensure that you don't fall into that trap if you're in a phase of transition. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com. If you want to listen offline, on a car ride back home, or on a flight, you could download the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or one of the podcast apps.